That's number one then on our student dance charts, Thursday nights. Tune in 5 through 7 o'clock. We count down the 20 top dance records even. That are doing the business on the student dance floor. Here's Duncan Disorderly for us now. He's going to tell us about NetAid.
This Saturday sees a massive concert NetAid at Wembley Stadium. NetAid is the largest global charity concert ever staged. It's being done for the United Nations with major support from Cisco Systems, and is the start of a long-term campaign to use the power of the internet to end extreme poverty worldwide. Three venues, Wembley Stadium in London, Giant Stadium in New York, and the Geneva Opera House no less, will be host live performances by The Corrs, Bush, Robbie Williams, David Bowie, Texas, Stereophonics and tons of other top stars, including DJ Paul Oakenfold, who will be spinning in between the bands. The concert will be broadcast simultaneously on radio and television, as well as on the internet. And if you're interested, the NetAid site on the internet is http://www.netaid.org.
Listening to Freedom 106.5 FM with me, Rich Hyde.
And me, Duncan Disorderly.
We're going to take a short break right now while we have the news. So here is the Freedom News Report.
The Freedom News Report.
Hello and welcome to the Freedom News Report with Mark Stevens and Angela Conlin. On this week's national and international news, We look at the Paddington Rail Inquiry. We look at the floods that have devastated Mexico. Also, we look at the Malaysian government's moves to censor the websites of political opponents. And we have a special interview this week with the Mayor of Derby, Councillor Sarah Bolton. And now over to Angela Conlin with details of local stories.
On the local news this week, we report on the future of another Derbyshire hospital, how juvenile offenders put the ambulance service in jeopardy, proposals to modernise Derby City Council, Derby students set to enter the space programme, and how gender differences in schools are levelling out.
Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott has said finance isn't a problem in introducing new safety measures to the UK's railways following the Paddington train crash. The collision between two rush hour trains is one of the worst railway accidents in British history. Mr Prescott, who has responsibility for transport, received earlier this morning the initial report on the Health and Safety Executive's findings. He has also confirmed that Scottish judge Lord Cullen will head a public inquiry into Tuesday's disaster, which is feared to have claimed the lives of at least 70 people. Speaking to reporters, Mr Prescott said safety had the highest priority and finance would be no object to that goal. He said finance isn't a problem. The money could come from the rail industry, but it's not a problem. It will be provided. The question is what the proper balance that gives us the effective level of safety. That's his obligation to make a judgment about it. Mr Prescott said, I have now set up a body to look at whether that was right, but will be judged on what I think was the best decision of putting safety right at the fore of our decision making. As left, the Rail Drivers Union has demanded that train operators introduce the automatic train protection system, which was recommended in the report into the 1988 Clapham train crash, which killed 35 people. The estimated cost of fitting the sophisticated ATP system, which is already in place in some high-speed trains across the rail network, is £1 billion. The government's preferred system is the Train Protection Warning System, which will be fitted across the rail network by the end of 2003 at a cost of £150 million. The safety system being introduced to British trains is a balance between TPWS on the majority of trains and ATP on high-speed trains and other modern networks. Mr Prescott said as Transport Secretary he'd been told TPWS would improve safety by up to 80% and could be fitted within 3 or 4 years. He said, that was the alternative they gave me. I said, yes, get on with it. We want to get this system in. We want a safer railway system. It wasn't a matter about costs. I hear these arguments about £250 million for one and £1 billion for another. A £1 billion isn't a great amount of money. A review of the separate systems of train safety systems will be headed by Sir David Davis, who will deliver an assessment to Mr Prescott by the end of the year. Mr Prescott said that if the report recommended ATP over other systems, he would give immediate authorisation for it to be implemented immediately. He added that at the time he hadn't wanted any more delay in introducing a safety system, but Mr Prescott has rejected calls for ATP to be installed immediately and said it was a matter for Lord Cullen's inquiry. And now to the report released earlier today to the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Transport, John Prescott. The Health and Safety Executive says in an interim report on the crash that the service operated by Thames Trains passed signal 109 when it was set at red outside Paddington Station in London. The report adds that the crash would have been avoided if the train protection warning system had been installed and used properly. Introducing the report, Chief Inspector of Railways Vic Coleman said the crash was everyone's worst nightmare. He said that the finding that the Thames train had passed the red signal does not indicate that they are placing blame on the driver at this stage. He added, we see this at present as a system failure.
The Freedom News Report.
An emergency is in force across 5 states in southern Mexico as the authorities battle to cope with the worst floods to hit the area for 40 years. More than 100 people are known to have died in areas bordering the Gulf of Mexico. 100,000 people are homeless and several ports have been closed indefinitely. Rescuers are searching for up to 20 children thought to have been buried by a mudslide that engulfed a school in the state of Puebla. Another 20 to 40 people are reported to have been trapped in the building, which they were using as a makeshift shelter when the mudslide struck. Towns and villages have been evacuated and many people have been left stranded on rooftops waiting for help. Emergency services are stretched to the limit with only a few helicopters and boats available to reach the victims. Local TV stations are appealing for those in dry zones to donate food, blankets, clothing and medicines. The heavy rains arrived in Mexico after drenching large areas of Central America for up to 3 weeks. Floods that left 74 dead brought down power lines, cut roads and contaminated water supplies. In Mexico, Puebla state appears to have been the worst hit, and many people are missing. In the coastal state of Veracruz, state officials reported that 17 people have been killed, including 3 in a rescue helicopter that crashed. Between Monday and Tuesday night, more than 11 centimetres of rain fell on the state capital of Jalpa. A further 7 people were killed in the central state of Hidalgo, after the storms caused a quarry wall to collapse. In Tabasco's capital, Villahermosa, rising waters carried crocodiles into the streets. Police shot one of the reptiles. The city of Tulancingo, 100 kilometres northeast of Mexico City, is under threat from flooding. A dam is threatening to burst near the city and 20,000 people have been told to be ready for instant evacuation. Other parts of Central America are now starting to dry out, but there is a medical emergency as the disease takes hold. And the World Food Programme says the loss of some 26,000 hectares of crops is almost certain to create a food crisis as well. The Nicaraguan president, Arnaldo Alemán, put the flood damage in his country's infrastructure at $10 million. He's to appeal to the international community for help. Parts of Central America were still recovering from the effects of Hurricane Mitch last year, which killed 10,000 people. The latest storms have destroyed some of the rebuilding work and added to the thousands of people who are still relying on the WFP's food distribution network. The extreme weather conditions are the result of a tropical depression which is hovering over the Gulf of Campeche in the south of the Gulf of Mexico. The weather forecast is for more heavy rain in most parts of the region. The United Malays National Organization Anti-Defamation Committee has identified 48 websites containing allegedly slanderous and defamatory accusations against the government and will investigate them as it begins a more intensive effort to haul offenders into court. Committee Chairman Datuk Ibrahim Ali said slanderous accusations made on the websites were considered dangerous as they attempted to incite the public against the government and jeopardize national security. He said that they have identified 3 of the most active sites, Reformatsi, Free Malaysia and Mahaforum 2020, in expressing slanderous statements. Free Malaysia is one of roughly 50 such sites on the internet. Almost all appeared after the Prime Minister sacked his popular deputy, Anwar Ibrahim, and imprisoned him on trumped-up sex-related charges. These sites contain political and economic commentary and analysis that people do not see in the government's controlled mainstream media of the country. The content on these reformist or reformatsi websites comes from a wide variety of sources and appears in all 3 of Malaysia's most common languages. These letters, articles and essays all have one thing in common, however. They're an expression of the sort of free speech that is next to impossible to find anywhere in the traditional print and broadcast media of this nation. As the conduit for this free expression, the internet has played a pivotal role in the recent political awakening of Malaysia. One measure of the impact of this awakening is the government's increasing aggressiveness against the reformatsi phenomenon and against the various alternative means of communications and publishing that support it. This effect is ironic in that, at the same time, the Malaysian government is engaged in a large-scale enterprise to entice international IT companies and their creative talent to a former mangrove swamp that they hope to make into the Silicon Valley of the East. As a result, the government has gone to considerable lengths, by its past standards, to appear friendly towards free speech on the internet. However, with a national election in Malaysia approaching, it's feared that this will change shortly. Indeed, in the past week, Free Malaysia was among 3 sites named as threats to national security. Although this finding was announced by the dominant political party and not the government per se, it makes little difference in the Malaysian context, where the 2 are effectively considered to be 1. It's felt that it should be brought to the attention of people across the world. Free Malaysia and other such reformatsi sites do expect a crackdown based on information from several sources. But it's also considered that the government may reconsider any dramatic or extrajudicial action if attention is drawn to this threat against free speech on the internet.
You're listening to Radio Freedom.
It's been announced today that Chile's former military dictator, General Augusto Pinochet, can be extradited to Spain on torture charges. However, the year-long legal battle is unlikely to end there.
The Freedom News Report.
And now over to Angela Conlin, who spoke earlier this week with the Mayor of Derby, Councillor Sarah Bolton.
Good afternoon. I'm here in the Mayor's Parlour, and we're pleased to welcome to Radio Freedom the new Mayor of Derby, Sarah Bolton. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What does the title Mayor actually mean?
I'm Mayor for the year, so I will be the civic head at all functions and obviously represent the city at various events that are happening throughout my year.
Is it more glamour than political, would you say?
I wouldn't say either, really. When you're the Mayor, you're non-political, although right. I am a Labour councillor for right. Chadderston. But during my mayoral year, you are, as I say, you hold no political positions. And glamour, well, it depends who the Mayor is. There is a certain amount of glamour, but my theme for the year is people first. So my, I suppose, my focal point will be to raise money for my five local charities.
Tell us more about your mission statement, which you just mentioned in your theme.
Well, as I said, my theme's people first. And if you think of the word people and think of the letters, they all represent a section of society. So the P is for patients, and the matching charity is the Derby Baby Unit. The E is for the elderly, and that's the Derby Age Concern. The O I've made into the male and the female symbol, which represents the breast test appeal.
Excellent.
The second P is for poverty, and my matching charity there is Derby Drugline. The L is for Lifeline and Derby Samaritans. And the final E is for equality, meaning everyone. So if your listeners followed that, that spells the word people.
That was very clear, and it seems to me to be quite a task that to take on.
It is. It's a hell of a task because you've got all the engagements, and then I'm hoping to raise £25,000 for my five charities. So on top of your normal day-to-day work, and on top of being a councillor for Chadderston, which you can't forget during your mayoral year, and then on top of that I've got my charity fundraising, so it's extremely busy.
How did you get into politics? I know you've just mentioned that you are non-political in this mayoral year, but how did you get into Derby politics in the first instance?
I joined the local Labour Party when I was 15. I became the youngest councillor at 23, and now the youngest mayor at 38.
So there's a bit of a theme there then.
So I'm doing very well, and in between that, I was the youngest magistrate at 30.
I have to ask this. People will be thinking, power crazy, power crazy.
Not at all. No, I'm doing it for the people, and hence right. my theme. People are very important to me, and hence me being a socialist.
Right.
And that hopefully will echo throughout my year as mayor, that I do put people first.
You essentially see the job of mayor as being a people job.
I do, yes. Right. But each mayor brings his or her own flair and charisma into the job. But particularly for this year, because I'm conscious I'm taking this city into the next millennium, of course, which I think is an extra special year to take it through, not only because I'm a woman and the youngest, but I think you've got to bring that theme in because you're taking the city into the next century. And I think that's a great honour.
What do you actually envisage for the millennium? How do you see Derby, its future?
Derby has got a very rosy future. What we want to do here in the city is to make Derby a top 10 city by the year 2020. And we are going full steam ahead for that. There's a lot going on in Derby, in the city centre. There's the development on Pride Park. There are lots of initiatives coming to Derby and lots of new industry and commerce. And I'm sure that Derby is an up-and-coming city.
You seem a very positive person. It shines through. And do you think that's important with all these new changes? Do you think how you feel reflects that's part of your position?
I think it does. I mean, you've got to believe in what you're doing, and you've got to believe in the city that you're representing. And certainly over my 14 years on the council and the experience that I've got, I know that the people who work in Derby are paramount on making Derby a top 10 city. And I think we're all working for that, in partnership with other authorities, with other agencies, and with other investors in Derby.
Do you think in this day and age that the title Mayor and the role of Mayor as a figurehead is still appropriate?
I think yes, in the smaller cities it is.
Right. Why do you make that distinction?
Because I think the smaller cities are more of a community.
Right.
Whereas the elected mayors, possibly in London, there is obviously a lot more going on in that city, being the capital, of course.
Yes.
But I think Derby is really a little town, although we've got city status. You've got everyone who knows everyone, and the networking is very easy. But I think the mayoral figure in any city like Derby is the correct way to go about it, yeah.
You mentioned you're a woman in politics, you're the youngest mayor. You're also the 10th woman mayor in Derby. Are you pleased about that? I know we shouldn't be, but does that give you an extra little kick?
I think there should be more.
Well, absolutely.
It's a shame that I'm only the 10th.
Do you see any pressures on you as a woman mayor?
I think from the engagements I've done up to now, and I've just been in office just over 4 months, I've done over 400 engagements.
That's a lot of time spent.
It's a lot of time, it's a lot of energy that I spend out there. And I think part of that is because I'm a woman. people want me at more functions. Now, whether it's because I'm the youngest, I don't think being a woman perhaps has got anything to do with it. It might have. But I am proving to be extremely busy, busier than the last couple of mayors in any case.
Could that maybe not be just your personality, that perhaps you are, as I said before, you're very positive, you're very, fucking almost the word bouncy, that you obviously are a social person, you like interacting with people, and therefore make better at functions than some other mayors would have been.
That might have something to do with it, yes.
But you know, it has to be said that, as you point out, it's a people job, and therefore it's a personality job, however much we would like to think it is, it is down to the person as well.
That's very true, and you only get out of it as much as you put into it. Mm. But I think over the 400 engagements, I've seen so much that goes on out there in our city, and so many people who do such a lot of good work, and they don't usually get a thank you for that. So that's one thing that I'm going to bring to the forefront during my year, is to actually go and thank the people who are working to better people's quality of lives.
We wish you every success with that. Thank you very much. I've been talking to the new Mayor of Derby, Sarah Bolton. Thank you.
The Freedom News Report.
In line with government proposals to modernise local councils, Derby City Council is preparing to change over to a new management system, with a cabinet of 8 councillors making most of the day-to-day decisions. The change, which is scheduled for next month, has led to speculation that leading councillors could work full-time for a salary, as opposed to the present expenses-only system. Council leader Robert Jones has, however, ruled out the suggestion, saying that people will not give up their current jobs and pensions for the insecurity inherent in being a councillor. Mr. Jones also said that there are no major changes planned for the way councillors are paid, but the present allowances will be reallocated to fit in with new positions created by the change. Last year, councillors claimed £265,000 in allowances, the basic allowance per councillor being £3,819 per year.
The Freedom News Report.
4 meetings are to be held on the future of Kingsway Hospital in Derby, after Southern Derbyshire Health Authority launched a public consultation process back in July on the future of mental health services in the area. The hospital, which is earmarked for closure by the end of the year 2000, currently houses 650 patients who, according to the plans, will all be assessed as to whether or not they are suitable to be moved into community-based accommodation. The meetings are designed to give patients and relatives an opportunity to hear the plans and put forward their point of view. The consultation runs until the end of the month, when the Health Authority will make a decision on the closure.
Radio Freedom.
According to government statistics published this week, the gap between boys and girls' reading and writing abilities has narrowed, a fact which is borne out in Derby, where the gap has narrowed by 3 percentage points in the last 12 months. In 1998, the results revealed a 13% gap between the sexes, with girls achieving 60% and boys 53%. Assessment tests in May of this year, however, revealed that 60% of boys and 70% of girls in Derby were achieving level 4 or above, which is a required reading level for 11-year-olds. The difference in Derby is 1% better than the national gap of 11%. City Schools advisor John Bertram said that the introduction of the literacy hour had contributed to the increased performance of both boys and girls. The government has set a national target of 80% of all 11-year-olds achieving level 4 or above by the year 2002. Derby at present has a success rate of 65%. Paired reading schemes have contributed to the overall success.
The Freedom News Report.
Callous youths have caused an ambulance to be rendered inoperative whilst answering an emergency 999 call. The thieves, both aged about 15, took a handheld radio set along with the keys to the ambulance, medical books, mobile phones and other equipment. The theft occurred whilst the ambulance crew attended to an 81-year-old patient at Plimsoll Court Old People's Housing Complex off Warner Street. An East Midland Ambulance Service spokesman said that although the equipment taken is not life-threatening, the vehicle is effectively out of action and therefore levels of service will be affected. He added that it was a sad indictment on society. The warden of the complex, Lorraine Thompson, was full of praise for the crew who were stationed at East Midlands Ambulance Service's Ripley base. She said that even when told of the theft, which was only discovered by another resident taking a walk, the crew's prime concern was for their patient. Sergeant Mick Gocher of Derby Police added that this is an appalling crime that impacts on the whole community.
The Freedom News Report.
Volunteers in Derby are being sought to help counsel and advise victims of rape and sexual abuse. Derby Rape Crisis is seeking 12 people to train as telephone advisers and counsellors. Funding, which was withdrawn earlier this year, was won back by the charity to the tune of £56,000. The three funding bodies, Derby City Council, Derbyshire County Council and the Southern Derbyshire Health Authority, put the contract to run the service out to tender. In addition to the extra counsellors required, the group, which was set up in 1985, wants to provide an outreach worker to cover outlying districts.
Radio Freedom.
Students at Mackworth College are set to enter the Moscow Space Olympics. Four students, Paul Watson, Casey Gale, Sam Alsop and Jana Holder, will fly to Moscow next week to present science projects at Korolev, the centre of the Russian space industry. And finally, on a lighter note, Derby has this week been named as a runner-up in the large city category of the National Britain in Bloom competition.
The Freedom News Report.
That's all for this week's Freedom News Report with myself, Angela Conlin, and my colleague,
Mark Stevens. Don't forget to tune in next week for the last Freedom News Report in this broadcast.
The Freedom News Report.
Radio Freedom, 106.5 FM.
Oh yes, we're back. We're going to take you right the way through till 7 o'clock tonight. Some top tunes on the way. We got the brand new one from Primal Screams coming up. It's an exclusive. Also, we've got the definitive guide to what Derby has to offer in the way of entertainment tonight. Going to kick the second part of the show off tonight with this one from Kojak. Check this.
It's competition time this week. I don't know if you've been listening throughout the week, but we've had four VIP passes for Travelling Without Moving on tomorrow night, Saturday, October the 9th. To win, all you have to do is answer this very, very easy question. What nights do the Travelling Without Moving crew do their radio show?
Give us a call on Derby 361068 if you know the answer.
Question again, what nights do Travelling Without Moving crew do their Radio Freedom show?
Nice and easy now. To win that, all you have to do is give us a call on Derby 361068. Ashley Beadle on the mix of Women Be Your Men. This is the brand new one from John Carter.